masked savior.
Oh, the savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters all over the world, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. In this series of shows, we are trying to focus and concentrate on some doubts and misconceptions with regard to the concept of Mahdawiyya or Mahdism. The Islamic researcher, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, from Qom Seminary Schools. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Many thanks for accepting the invitation, Sheikh. The question that we are going to talk about is about the concept of jihad and its relation to Mahdawi or Mahdism, based on a series of doubts that this person, a so-called scholar in Islam, actually posed against the issue of Mahdawi. He said that the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim salam, or the Shia Islam, actually they stopped the concept of jihad and the important issue of jihad due to the absence and occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. This important, actually, misunderstanding that this person has and the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt needs to be answered and analyzed. And first, for ourselves, as the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt, we need to know what jihad is and what are the teachings of Islam in this regard. And if we really have banned and stopped it at the time of occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, this is something that we want to, inshallah, look at it, Shaykhana.
We mentioned that this Wahhabi scholar has claimed that the Shias, they have banned the performance of Friday prayer during the major occultation. We answered that in two episodes, in two previous sessions. And now he continues and he claims that another Islamic law, which is not followed by the Shia during the major occultation, is jihad. He writes that the Shia believe that without the presence of an infallible imam, jihad is not allowed at all. He mentions a narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that, for example, fighting without the presence of an infallible imam who should be followed by the Shias, by the Muslims, if a person wants to fight without the presence of such an imam, it is forbidden, like eating, for example, pork or blood. So this Wahhabi scholar continues and claims that from the year 260 onwards, from the beginning of minor occultation, all the Shias, they are waiting for the imam, and they believe that jihad with the presence of other people who are not an infallible imam, like the other caliphs, I mean the Abbasid caliphs and the rest of them, it is absolutely forbidden, like eating pork and blood, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And even he continues and claims that those Muslims army, those Muslim soldiers who, for example, they are protecting the borders, they do jihad for the sake of God, and they are killed, they are not martyred. They have no reward before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because there has been no infallible imam present.
Mm-hmm.
He also refers to another narration from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. According to this narration, Abdullah ibn Sanan asks Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that, what do you say about the people in our time who are killed in the borders, in the fronts of the country? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that, woe be unto them, there is no martyr except for our Shia, even if they die in their beds. Now, the conclusion of this Wahhabi scholar is that from the year 260, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam was 5 years old and his minor occultation began, Shia believed that no one is allowed to perform jihad. Any Muslim who is killed for protecting the Muslim territories and so on and so forth, he is not a martyr. As I mentioned, performing jihad altogether is absolutely forbidden during the major occultation. So, first of all, he has mentioned two narrations, and both narrations, again, are weak. I think this is the common answer that we mention when we want to answer this Wahhabi scholar. But the main point is that the Sira, the way of life, the conduct of the Shia during the history of Islam and the major occultation is one of the best reasons to reject this claim of this Wahhabi scholar. But before that, technically speaking, let me explain that according to Shia jurists, we have two types of jihad, the initiative jihad and the defensive jihad. When it comes to the initiative jihad, we mean that the war that is started by the Muslims with the permission and command of, for example, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. Now, there are many discussions about initiative jihad. Even some scholars believe that our Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, although the initiative jihad is allowed in Islam with the permission and command of the Prophet or an infallible Imam, but all the wars of our Prophet
were defensive.
He didn't begin any war. So there is
And they claim that the philosophy of it is that Islam is never going to attack before it is being attacked.
Exactly. Of course, as I mentioned, the fact that jihad ibtidai is allowed is believed by the, majority of the scholars from both Shia and Sunni denominations. But whether it was performed in practice or not, some scholars believe that during the time of our Holy Prophet, it did not happen at all. But the point is that when it comes to initiative jihad, there is a kind of difference of idea among the Shia scholars. Many of the Shia jurists, they believe that at the time of the major occultation, we cannot perform jihad ibtidai or initiative jihad. For initiative jihad and fight, it is necessary for us to have an infallible Imam present. Without the presence of an infallible Imam, we cannot have initiative jihad. But still, we have some other Shia jurists who believe that no, it's not the condition. Even for initiative jihad, if there is a Wali Faqih, for example, the general deputy of Imam al Mahdi, he can issue the fatwa of initiative jihad as well. Mm-hmm. So, even for initiative jihad, it's not the consensus among all the Shia jurists that we are not allowed to perform it. Some Shia jurists, they believe that it is permitted for the Shia jurist, who is Wali Faqih of the time, to issue the fatwa of initiative jihad as well. But when it comes to defensive jihad, there is no difference among any Shia scholar. All the Shia scholars unanimously, they have given the fatwa that during the major occultation of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, not only it is allowed, it is an obligation, it is a must for the Shia, for the Muslim to take part in defensive jihad. Mm-hmm. What we mean is that when the enemies of Islam, they attack Muslim territories, then we have defensive jihad. Are we allowed to take part in this jihad? According to all the Shia scholars, there is no even one scholar who has mentioned otherwise. According to all the Shia scholars, not only it is allowed, it is an obligation upon all those who meet the conditions to take part in this defensive jihad during the major occultation.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh. So jihad needs to be interpreted first, and it has to be actually explained that there are two forms of it, initiative or primitive war, and the defensive form of it. Let's have a short break. Inshallah, we shall get back to you, Sheikh Murtada.
IRIB English Radio, you're listening to.
This is the last savior which comes to you.
False claimants to the position of Al-Mahdi. Doubts and misconception of the reappearance of Imam Al-Mahdi.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to The Last Savior from IRB English Radio and a discussion concerning whether Shias actually stop and ban jihad at the time of occultation of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So, Sheikh, is there any more point to be added here to make it more clear for the listeners?
Sure. What is very surprising is that this Wahhabi scholar accuses the Shia of not performing jihad during the major occultation, and he may also add that this is not the case for us, the Wahhabis and Sunnis. We do jihad in the time of the major occultation. But let's go back and study the history, not very long time ago. Let's talk about the last 50 years or 70, 80 years. Mm-hmm. We see that in any time and situation that the Shia jurists, the scholars of the time, they felt that the Shia can take part in a kind of defensive jihad and defend their territories or even oppose some of those people, some of those countries which have occupied their land. They have issued the fatwa about that. So, for example, when we read the history of Iraq, we see that in different stages, it was the Shia scholars who issued the fatwa of jihad against the British occupiers. It happened in different stages. And very many true. Great Shia scholars in person, they took part in these battles. We have some martyrs among the great Shia scholars. When it comes to Islamic Republic of Iran, what Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi did was a kind of jihad against the oppressive ruler of the time. And let's talk about Palestine, the issue of Palestine, and the reaction of so-called Sunni countries and Shia countries. I'm not going to talk about the Sunni brothers and sisters. Let's talk about the governments. In these 70, 80 years after the emergence of Zionism and Israel in the Middle East, you see that almost in all the cases, it was the Shia countries, the Shia people, the Shia government, and the Shia scholars who defended the people of Palestine.
Very true.
In different cases, when Israel attacks some Arab countries who are ruled by so-called Sunni governments, I'm not talking about the people, in all the cases, they were defeated. In recent years, last 10, 20 years, it is the Shia in Lebanon who are supporting our Sunni brothers and sisters in Palestine, I mean in Hamas or in other organizations. It is Iran who is all over the world. When you hear about resistance against Zionism and Israel, the first country that comes...
And oppression in general.
And oppression in general is Islamic Republic of Iran, and then Hezbollah in Lebanon and people in Iraq, and all of them, they are Shia. But on the other hand, we have Saudi Arabia, we have Emirates, we have Qatar, Kuwait, and none of them, they have supported the oppressed people of Palestine in these recent wars. Not only that, now you see that in recent years, unfortunately, they are supporting Israel in practice. One of the best examples is Emirates. We know that now they are doing that publicly. And they are revealing how intimate relations they have with Israel. So this is the, difference. Iran, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, these Shia countries, they are in the front line doing jihad against the Zionist occupiers of Palestine. But these so-called countries which are led by Sunnis, again, I don't want to say that our Sunni brothers and sisters, they believe the same. No, they may believe that they need to support Palestine. But what we see...
The story of nations are different from the leaders.
Exactly. But to claim that Shia believes that jihad is banned during the major occultation is a very, weird claim by this Wahhabi scholar when we read the history of Shia and Islam.
Thank you very much. And one last distinction that I want to add to your explanation, Sheikh, is that those who believe compulsory and mandatoriness of initiative or primitive war or jihad, like, for example, the Wahhabis, they started jihad, but not against non-Muslims,
exactly.
Against Iraqi Muslims. So they actually have no idea of what Islam actually says and actually intends of jihad, of primitive jihad. When they believe that, for example, performing jihad against Zionism or, let's say, global arrogance is of a second priority, it means that they have not understand what jihad is. Mm-hmm. So, and jihad has not been legislated against Muslims, brother. It was actually, in sense, it was legislated to be against non-Muslims and kuffar and non-Muslims, whoever is going to attack Muslims. So this is the last word that we wanted to make it as the final word of this discussion. Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, and your respected listeners for staying tuned and listening to this show. Till our next show, I believe in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum.
Hold me by your hand and please show me the way to be one of the pure and chosen companions, so that I can swear the oath of allegiance. I'll give everything that I love in God's name to avenge the blood of your grandfather Hussein. Every step of the way, my dream will come true. On my last breath, oh Master, I'll call out to you. Oh Light of Allah, you are my true guide. I'm waiting.